comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome, one and all, episode 19 of Nerds United. I am Greg Mahochko, and I am in the Nerd Dome, and it's weird. I'm all by my lonesome. I had to go back through the archives. I didn't have to go back that far. Obviously, there have only been 19 episodes, but this is the first time that I've been doing a solo show since episode 10. Which is great. That means that I've been able to have a lot of folks on the show. Of course, been to the Cape Comic Con, been to Free Comic Book Day, getting together with some friends of mine, old and new, and just having a blast on the show, which is what it's all about. It's certainly no more than just a fun time to sit down with people that I either know pretty well, know really well, or don't know at all, meeting for the first time. And I'm going to have to clean this up and post. I'm using a pair of headphones that I can only hear out of one ear. That's aggravating. I worked in radio for 10 and a half years, and only to have a headphones that work in one ear drives me crazy. So we're doing this rogue style. We are doing this sans headphones. I've got a lot of topics that I'm going to get to, of course, they talk about comics and movies and comic movies primarily, but I got to say thank you to everybody who has helped make Nerds United as much fun and given me a reason to keep going. Now, I say that, I'd probably still do this if nobody listened. But the numbers are proving that yes, you're listening to the show. And as long as you're listening, I'll still have this show. And like I said, probably beyond that as well. I had a revelation earlier today at work. I mean, kind of, I don't want to say down, and we'll get into that here in a moment. I work in sales now. I'm a car salesman. Which you think that's funny because, you know, that stereotypical car salesman is not really me. I'm fortunate enough to work with some good folks who are taking care of me, taking me under their wing, and are showing me that, hey, I'm not horrible at this job. So that's what I've been doing for the last few months since the beginning of the year. But for whatever reason, the past week or so, haven't moved much metal. It's what I like to call it, moving the metal. Only sold one car, and I kind of had this revelation that, you know what, it's not that I don't enjoy what I'm doing. It's just that, you know, I got to get up and go to work every day. And what's that old saying? You've heard it probably a million times or read it. Love what you do, and you'll never work a day in your life. So I had a revelation this morning, and it's going to take a lot of years and a lot of sold cars to make it happen. But hopefully someday, I can transition my business and sales acumen and open up Nerds United, the store, a comic book shop. I know I've got great people in my camp. You heard from one of them just a couple weeks ago, Mr. Joe Field, and they have that seminar, that kind of crash course on how to be a successful comic book store owner, operator, manager. So someday, and this is not like a coming 2016, the same weekend that we get both Superman versus Batman and Captain America 3, Greg Mahochko, in a town probably not near you, Nerds United. The store. No, it's not going to be 2016. And to be honest with you, like I said, the way the past week of sales has gone, it might not be 2026. But someday, I think that is about the most realistic goal I could probably make for myself. Someday, have that comic book shop. Now, I'm 31 as it is. I don't know if I want to be opening a comic book store in my 40s. But you know what? If I ever have kids, maybe it'd be something that they might be interested in. Hopefully they're nerds. I'm a nerd. My wife is a nerd. Just the one. Honey, I love you. So yeah, there you go. There's something to shoot for. Something to, have a goal. Right now, my goal, in the car sales industry has been sell as many cars as you can. Make money, pay bills, pay off credit cards or whatever outstanding debts that there might be. Now I feel like I can, a little bit for me, a little bit for the bank, for the savings account, a little bit more for me, a little bit more for the savings account, maybe a little bit less for me, so a little bit more for the savings account. But someday, I think Nerds United, the store, and I could have my own studio right there where I could, hopefully get some big names to come through my door. And even small names. It's no secret. If you listened to the Cape Con, I'm talking to everyday comic book fans like myself. That's what this show is about. That's who this show is for. It's, people like you and me getting together and sharing, some of our thoughts and opinions. It's why I love the hangouts with my friends. Because first of all, they're all a lot more entertaining than me and they should be hosting this show. But since I'm the one with access to the equipment, it's my show and I get to have them on as guests, which is great because, as you know, if you've listened to the show, especially since its inception, that I've got just some great, and talented and funny and artistic and creative friends. Everybody's got a great opinion. And, unlike non-comic book related opinions, they don't stink. I love it. So, without any further ado, let us then transition into the show. That was the pre-show. Want to share this with you. I kind of went around, the fence, I don't know if you go around the fence. Anyway, I ran around this idea in my head, and this is a touchy one, but I definitely think that it needs to, be mentioned. It was the 4th of May, just a few weekends ago. I get a call. This is, of course, day after Free Comic Book Day, and we're going to go to a real sad place here, folks. And I apologize for that, but then we're going to pick it up a little bit. I got a call. My wife and I were actually in our local Walmart doing some grocery shopping. And it was one of those calls that's like, shakes you at your core. And I didn't really know how to respond. But, of course, passed on my sincerest condolences to the family. One of my oldest friends lost his life that early that Sunday morning, and we're not going to get into any names, but I knew this guy since 4th grade, and we would hang out. We hung out all the time. It wasn't quite in my neighborhood, so it's not like I could just ride my bike over to his house, but we hung out plenty. We were on the basketball team together, and he was one of those kids that, spend the night at my house, one Friday night, and a couple weeks later, we'd spend the night, I'd crash over at his house, and we'd be up until 2:30, 3 in the morning. Of course, when you're 10, 11 years old, that's the best part about it, right? And always seemed that we were having Little Caesars pizza. This was before the $5 hot and readys, but the pizza, we would have those. Of course, you heard more about pizza and Little Caesars if you listen to last week's episode and the interview with Brian. We'd go over there. We had we had the Little Caesars, we had the pop and all that stuff. We played the Sega Genesis. Streets of Rage 2, for whatever reason, comes to mind for playing the games. Again, this was early 90s, so we didn't have the fancy schmancy video game consoles. We had Sega Genesis, and I thought it was great because all I had was the Nintendo Entertainment System. He had the authentic X-Men action figures, and I did not. So I was always loved going over there because he had, you know, like Sabretooth and Magneto and Wolverine and Cyclops. And so, you know, we had that. He had that going for him. It was one of those where, you know, after a couple of times of crashing over at my house and him staying over the night at my house, we're like, man, we just got to do this at your house. Your parents are cooler. Quick story. This will make you laugh. And I told this to my friend's mom there after the funeral a week ago or so. And I said, you know, I apologized certainly for the circumstances and whatnot. But I said, I also apologize. I said, I don't know if you remember that phone call we made that we shouldn't have made And she kind of had that lost look like, what are you talking about, Greg? And I explained to her, she's like, did you prank call somebody? I said, nope. It was one of those late night phone numbers that you got on the TV. One of those 9800 numbers, one of those 900 numbers. And, sorry folks, we are going to lighten the atmosphere. Anyway, you know, she of course, remembered it was one of those, 1-900 numbers, you know, with the ladies of the telephone evening, if you know what I'm saying. They charge you by the minute. We thought, of course, we were 11 at the time. We thought if you hung up by the 59 seconds, they wouldn't charge you. It wouldn't appear on your phone bill. And we were wrong. We apparently missed that in the fine print on the television set at 2:30 in the morning. So, anyway, I'm going to we did a lot of stuff. This is the kid who, you know, he had the BB gun, and we used to go in and run around in the forest and shoot at the shed across the creek and all that other stuff. One of my best friends from growing up, and I remember we would play like Nerf basketball in his hallway at his house, like Saturdays after waking up and whatnot. And a lot of times we listen to this song, so I just want to play you a little bit of this song. Then I promise we're going to get into the fun stuff, all right?
I'm taking it back to the old school, because I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you want to get down, I'm going to show you the way. Boom, there it is. Let me hear you say,
woo, there it is. Come on, y'all. Woo, there it is.
A little louder.
Woo, there it is.
Come on, y'all.
Woo, there it is.
Louder.
Woo.
Now it's funnier if you know that there's the show, I think it's on Comedy Central, some of the Whitest Kids You Know. That was us, early 1990s. We were both, you know, same age, like I said, 10, 11 years old. For whatever reason, that was our jam. So anyway, let's move on. I think it's finally time to get to some get the show going. I mean, hell, we're 13 minutes into it, and I haven't said Marvel or DC until just now. So let's get to it. DC Animated Universe put out a new Batman movie within the last couple of weeks here. Maybe you've seen it in the store. Maybe you thought, you know, Damian Wayne doesn't really interest me. He's not my Robin. I picked it up because I figure, you know, I've invested a lot of time and money into all of these other DC animated ventures. Let's give it a whirl. Son of Batman. And if you know nothing about the story, you obviously have not read Grant Morrison's run on Batman, and you can find it. I would first go to your local comic book shop. If you can't find it there, maybe you can ask them to order it for you, or you can go to other online purveyors of mystical, magical goodness. But I digress. It is called Batman, Son of Batman. Grant Morrison wrote it, and it's just fantastic story. It is, in fact, Damian Wayne's origin story, and if you have no idea, if you're not a Batman fan, a Bat fan, if you will, you might not know who Damian Wayne is. Spoiler alert, you should know, because it's not exactly new news. Damian Wayne is the son of Bruce Wayne, and Talia al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul's daughter, and if you think about it, sort of the heir apparent to the League of Assassins, League of Shadows, it might be called in some mediums. And then, you know, they did the nasty. And the result of that was Damian Wayne, which, again, I have not read the book, but I have obviously seen the movie, which is why we're talking about it. Bruce was unaware. He was essentially roofied. Talia slipped a little something in Brucey Poo's drink there, and got him to pretty much succumb to her every whim, and that was, put a baby inside me, Bruce. And so Bruce Wayne did just that. The really funny thing about it, too, and we got a little taste of Talia al Ghul in The Dark Knight Rises, a little bit different spin, however, on the character, I think, in that versus much more, you know, the more traditional canon forms that Talia has taken. Talia and Batman, Bruce Wayne, are... they're sort of perfect for each other in a weird way. Although Talia, you know, I think at times she's tried to stay on the straight and narrow and be that good person, you know, that Batman, I guess, wants her to be or needs her to be. But she always calls him beloved, which is pretty cool. It's kind of that, a bit of that old style, and it's something that carries on with Damian Wayne, especially in the movie, where he calls, you know, instead of calling Bruce Wayne Batman or Bruce or something like that, he says father, like right away, very formal. And so just again, kind of an interesting quirk in that particular story. But the one thing that kind of dawned on me right away is that as I'm watching this, I didn't consider it to be traditional. It certainly was not, you know, Bruce Timm-esque, you know, something. If you watched Batman the Animated Series or Batman Beyond, or if you watched Justice League or Justice League Unlimited or Superman, didn't have that Timverse feel to it. Very much, I thought, in the anime stylings, then you get to the credits, and a lot of the key artists on that are... you know, Asian, which, you know, from that anime background. And again, I don't think it's bad. I enjoyed the picture, the flick, if you will. It was only about 70 minutes or so long. One of the things, though, that I it doesn't matter. Ever since Batman the Animated Series, ever since the other Timverse works that I've already mentioned, he was also the voice in the Arkham series. Kevin Conroy hits the voice in my head whenever I read Batman speaking in a comic. I want to hear Kevin Conroy. I know it becomes typecasting and it's probably a character he's done, you know, he feels he can do no more with, but I want to hear Kevin Conroy in every animated version of Batman for all time. You know, they just need to screenwrite all of these great Batman stories, Long Halloween or Hush or whatever they could do, and then say, all right, Kevin, we need you. And Andrea Romano, of course, is the vocal director, such a phenomenal presence that she has, and she's been doing it for years. And that's not to say that she's old or anything like that, but she is maybe the best vocal director in Hollywood. Definitely somebody that I'd someday love to be able to sit down and have a chat with. Of course, DC being owned by Warner Brothers, there was a nice little nod. This is not a spoiler, but the relationship immediately between Damian Wayne and Alfred the Butler was very antagonistic. Damian arrives with Batman in the Batcave, and he says, smaller than I thought it'd be. And Alfred comes, you know, down the steps, and Bruce says, Damian, this is Alfred. And Damian says, you only have one servant? and Bruce comes back with something like, well, you know, he's not a servant. He's, you know, essentially part of the family, which if you think about all that Alfred has done for Bruce Wayne Batman over the years, yeah, absolutely family. But anyway, very antagonistic. Damian is poking the bear at times, and At one point, he says, there's a sarcastic quip that Alfred gives to Damien, and Damien says, aren't you a little old for, sarcasm, butler or Pennyworth, I think is what he called him, Pennyworth. And Alfred says, no, Master Damien, I'm just too old to care. A classic little lines like that. But as Alfred is getting Damien acquainted with the Wayne Manor, he says, you obviously have your run of the place. And Damien says, what do you do for fun? And he turned on the TV, and it was, again, the classic nod to Looney Tunes. It was a little clip of Daffy Duck in one of those classic cartoons. Just, again, subtle, but you're like, oh, I see what you did there, Warner Brothers. Very sneaky. The artist rendering of Talia, my goodness, that's about all I can say to that. Anyway, she's drawn very much Jessica Rabbit-esque, if you want to get into Warner Brother type things. Very seductive appearance to Talia al Ghul. And just one quick more final note on Son of Batman. Again, I recommend it. The main villain in the story is Deathstroke. Deathstroke, the only knowledge you have of Deathstroke, Slade Wilson, comes from watching CW's Arrow. It's not a bad way to go. I don't know how accurate it is with the canon history of the character, but you're talking about a guy who's just a little bit faster, a little bit stronger, a little bit smarter than everybody else, which makes him, I think, a perfect fit for the Batman universe. I'd like to see more Deathstroke in Batman stories, be it in print or otherwise. Just one of those characters who you think that, and Batman is, obviously, he's got a contingency plan for everybody. But you think that, how do you stop somebody who never, it's not like you can't pull out kryptonite and all of a sudden Deathstroke, curls up in the fetal position. There's got to be another element there. I don't know if it's just wearing him down, putting the yes lock on him. I don't know what that is. I wouldn't mind seeing more Deathstroke in the Batman universe, because I think that those two characters go really well together. Let's transition then from the small screen, and particularly the home video, to the big screen and the theater presentations. Now, April and May been very busy for the world of Marvel characters, although there's only been one Marvel movie released to this point. Captain America, the Winter Soldier. I could go into a spoiler-laden discussion about this, but I'm not going to do that, just in case that there are some of you who have yet to see the movie. However, it's been out for over a month. You're running out of excuses. If you haven't seen Captain America the Winter Soldier, I don't know quite what you're waiting for. I encourage you to get out as soon as possible and check it out. It really is a fantastic picture. And the thing that's perhaps most notable about it is that it's less a superhero comic book movie. Obviously, the original, the work that it's based off of. You're talking Ed Brubaker, Captain America, yes, the Winter Soldier, which, by the way, picked up not too long ago. Haven't had a chance to read it yet. I know, shame on me, but I kind of knew how the story went, and I'm not going to give the big spoiler away, but when the Winter Soldier had to pick up his mask and everybody saw his face, I was one of two people in the theater who was laughing as everybody was shocked at who the Winter Soldier was, because I know my comic books. And I also know what becomes of that particular person down the road, which I'm sure that we will see, because that particular actor signed on for something like a 9-picture deal, and he's only done 2. There you go. The thing about it is, it was, I think, to me, it played out much more like a political thriller, than a comic book movie, which I think did the character a ton of justice, did the medium a ton of justice, because as long as people continue to see that, hey, you know, these stories have some real-world applications, maybe they're not just, you know, capes and cowls, you know, after all, you know, and swooshing and flying and you know, adamantium claws, maybe there's something to this, makes people kind of sit back and think a little bit. So anyway, Captain America the Winter Soldier, that needs to be on your watch list if it's not already. Number two is another sequel, Amazing Spider-Man 2. My wife and I went and saw that actually just last weekend, which would have been its second weekend of release. I was a little surprised because it did so well in week one, because it had that, you know, a lot of, I think it generated a lot of buzz, no pun intended, with the villain being Electro. But I thought it was really, really odd that the comedy Neighbors, Seth Rogen, Zac Efron, bumped it from the top of the box office after just 1 week of reigning at top. So a lot of these comic book movies, I think we're going to see X-Men Days of Future Past here in a couple weeks. I think we might see that one on top for a couple of weeks. Amazing Spider-Man 2, it's only been in theaters a couple weeks. I'm really hesitating as far as talking too much about it. I thought it was a perfect and natural and necessary continuation of the story. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Gwen Stacy. You had the Green Goblin as Harry Osborn. Norman Osborn, spoiler alert, he dies early in the movie. But you also get a little bit more backstory on Peter Parker's parents, especially his father, some of the scientific work that he was involved in. And you get to see, I thought it was going to have a much grander presence, if you will. But towards the end of the movie, you see, and you've seen it in trailers, so this is not a spoiler, the Rhino suit. You see it in action. Paul Giamatti, like I said, I really thought that was going to have a bigger presence in the movie, but you can see that they're definitely setting something up. They have a plan over at Sony Columbia as well for their property, which is Spider-Man. That they're going to see how that unfolds. You're already talking a couple of offshoot movies from that. Maybe a Venom was one of them. Another one that you heard was the Sinister Six. And that's where, again, you're going to see characters like Rhino, the Vulture, Dr. Octopus, Doc Ock as he's called. But anyway, that's another this is another movie that I just really enjoyed. I thought the end was tragic, but necessarily tragic. And spiders, you know, Spider-Man just cannot avoid losing someone that he cares about. It seems to happen in every movie a couple times. In the first one, where he lost Uncle Ben, and then Captain Stacy, you know, Gwen's dad, the cop there at the end who got killed by the Lizard. But anyway, that's enough on Amazing Spider-Man 2. Another one, if you haven't seen yet, you need to. Moving on, we get X-Men Days of Future Past, and we get it in the near future, unless you're listening to this after May the 24th, 23rd, next week, whatever, and then we're getting it in the Days of Past. Anyway, you get a young and old Wolverine. If you're unfamiliar with the story, you really need to do your homework on this one. It was initially written by Chris Claremont, who had a wonderful run on X-Men over the years. And it actually is not the first time that it's been adapted. It is, however, of course, the first time it's been adapted to the big screen. If you, like me, remember the 1990s X-Men cartoon, they did I think it was a two-parter there, Days of Future Past. Anyway, you got key players, Mystique, Bishop. We're going to see Sentinels actually in action. Actually in action almost sounds a bit redundant. But we're going to get some Sentinels in action, both in the future and the past. We get a couple variations of Professor Xavier. Get a couple variations, of course, of Magneto. and you still got Hugh Jackman. And Hugh Jackman, there have been some rumors. I know I've heard it that you know, he says he's got one more Wolverine movie in him, and the X-Men Apocalypse or Age of Apocalypse down the pipeline as well. And then he's thinking about hanging up the claws. I don't know if that Wolverine movie is Old Man Logan, but I think that that's one he said he would consider coming out of the Wolverine retirement to do. I've enjoyed Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, to be honest with you. I know that you see a lot of pictures of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in the first X-Men movie, and then Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in, and even The Wolverine, but certainly you know, some production stills from Days of Future Past. And yeah, the dude bulked up over the years. He was a lot skinnier, a lot less well-built, I guess, in the early X-Men franchise movies. But he's doing it right. He's kind of a fan favorite. Hopefully, you know, when it is recast, people give them a shot and while still honoring the Hugh Jackman legacy. Real quick, while we're talking about X-Men on the big screen and while we're talking about casting, I don't know if you heard, Channing Tatum confirmed as Gambit. And I don't know what I think about it. I don't initially have a problem with it, but I want to make sure that Gambit, who's one of those cocky characters, he's just an arrogant son of a gun. I want to hope that the writing makes it worthwhile for that one. I think that Channing Tatum is not as horrible an actor as a lot of people think. You can say what you want, obviously, about the G.I. Joe movies and how he quote-unquote ruined those. But let's face it, the first one was kind of ruined to begin with, and the second one, he was killed in the first 10 minutes. Spoiler alert, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Channing Tatum dies early on in that particular picture. But he's a guy that I think can act when he's given something worthwhile. My wife would tell you, now I'm not saying that because, you know, she's biased because she's a woman or anything like that, but I took her a couple years back because from time to time, you know, she puts up with a lot of my movies. I've got to balance out the scales a little bit. So we went and saw The Vow, and The Vow was pretty decent. It was one of those romantic comedy drama things. Anywho, so there's that. I'm not going to say that the guy can't act his way out of a wet paper bag. Plastic is certainly, you know, a lot more durable. But to give the guy a chance, and we'll see how he does. He's Gambit. He's, you know, from that, you know, deep south area, Louisiana, I believe, and might be able to put a bit of a Cajun twist on that. So let's give the guy a shot, I suppose. We got a lot to cover yet, folks. And which means that I'm going to have to start doing more quick hits, less long talk. But 2015, we know, is a big year. We're going to get Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. And I believe we're at the end, yeah. December 18th, I think. Nice Christmas present for all. Star Wars Episode 7. And Star Wars is one I think you definitely need to follow on Instagram or Twitter. And they've got the cast. They were all been, you know, circled around. They've read the script. There seems to be a lot of excitement generated for it. Of course, it's Star Wars, so it's going to have that natural buzz. I think from the original trilogy, especially when you get some of the OG actors, Mark Hamill's back, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Anthony Daniels. Anyway, the guy who played C-3PO and R2-D2, of course, is back. Peter Mayhew back again as Chewbacca. So you've got some of those old elements to combine with some new characters. So I think it's going to be I'm excited for it. I mean, we got a year and a half to go, but I'm pretty stoked for Star Wars Episode 7. And I hope that as we get going, we can see a few more images and continue to build that hype. While we're talking about images and hype and a longer wait, it's going to be early May 2016. So we've got 2 years of this. But Zack Snyder, I love him. I hate him. He's a jerk, and yet he's the coolest guy out there. He's giving us little glimpses of what Ben Affleck looks like as Batman. We're getting little glimpses of what the Batmobile looks like. Superman versus Batman coming to theaters just under 2 years from now in early May 2016. I've got to say, that first image of the backside of the Batmobile with the tarp over it or the sheet or the drape, whatever, kind of getting a little bit of excitement. Then you see the next day, we get a new picture. We get that front angle side of the Batmobile, and we get Batfleck, Ben Affleck in the cape and cowl. And even though it was black and white, I still got to tell you, it was pretty tremendous to see. I'm very excited to see what Zack Snyder has up his sleeves for Superman versus Batman. Let's jump to the small screen, and I'm not going to give you spoilers, mostly because I'm a few episodes behind myself. Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I believe season finale, I should say, ended earlier this week. I'm not there yet, but I've liked what they've been doing. I like how they've woven that story in with the Marvel Cinematic Universe and how in Captain America Winter Soldier, you find out, and this is a big spoiler, but I'm going to tell you now in case you don't know, S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't really been S.H.I.E.L.D. for a long time. It's been, in fact, Hydra. And so you get that trickling down into the television universe with Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they're kind of woven in. You've got a lot of talk of Director Fury, Nick Fury, being unavailable in a secret bunker. And in the episode that I've yet to watch from a couple weeks ago, Kobe Smulders, a.k.a. Maria Hill, makes her debut on Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well in the flesh. So that's something to be excited about. Arrow, which we mentioned earlier in talking about Deathstroke, is a huge success for the CW, so much so that they the mid-season finale, the Christmas break, if you will call it, they introduced Barry Allen, the Flash, as he would soon become, and we're going to get the Flash TV show coming up in the fall on CW. Couple of others that are out there as well. By the way, Arrow, like I said, I'm really enjoying it. Been a couple of surprising deaths in both Arrow and Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm not going to spoil them for you, but a couple of shows I think that you need to stick through the slow parts to get to the excitement. The excitement here has been the last month or so on both of those shows. So I highly encourage, if you're not caught up yet, get caught up and be ready for what their next seasons have in store. The Flash, we mentioned, it's coming to the CW in the fall. There was a really nice 5.5 minute extended trailer that I shared on the Nerds United Facebook page, facebook.com/Nerds United Show. I did that on Thursday this past week. Check it out. I think if you knew nothing about The Flash, you're going to get everything you need to know about Barry Allen in this 5.5 minutes. And I think from there you'll be able to decide whether or not that's a show that you want to watch coming up in the fall on CW. Meanwhile, that is one of many comic book or based shows coming to television in the near future. Constantine on NBC caught a trailer for that. Also shared it on the Facebook page last week. Constantine, and I think I've talked about it on the show before. I'm excited for that. I think it's going to be 100 times better than the Constantine movie starring Keanu Reeves, which I didn't even mind. I just think this one's going to be that good. Check out the trailer for that. They actually have an English guy playing John Constantine, the Hellblazer, which, you know, he's Welsh, I believe. The actor is Welsh, and the character is from something pool in England. I don't want to say Liverpool, because that's, of course, where the Beatles are from. I don't want to say Blackpool, because I think that's where Sir William Regal's from, Stephen Regal, depending on WCW or WWF. But anyway, very excited for Hellblazer, and also excited for Gotham, which is going to be on Fox, and that is the young Bruce Wayne story. And they're going to have introducing a lot of characters of the Batman universe. I think the story itself is probably going to focus on Gordon, Officer or Commissioner Gordon, depending on, you know, the timeline that they're using. Detective Gordon, perhaps, a lieutenant, whatever it is. I think the story is going to focus more on James Gordon, but you're going to get enough of the Gotham elements. They've already cast. You can already see in the trailers a young Oswald Cobblepot, who, of course, would later become the villainous Penguin. So there's that. There's a young actress who will be playing Selina Kyle, and already kind of has that thief aspect, that sneaky aspect to her that Catwoman would need later in her career. And you also get Jada Pinkett Smith. And but despite that, I hope you still watch Gotham on Fox coming in the fall. A couple other I'm going to quickly hit on here. S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter, which is based, it's going to be old school S.H.I.E.L.D., if you will. And I believe this is going to be another ABC production because it's, oh, you know, it's a S.H.I.E.L.D., ABC, Marvel, Disney owned property. And that will be Agent Carter, who we all remember from Captain America. The first one, the first super soldier. I can't even remember the tagline for it now. But anyway, the first Captain America movie was Steve Rogers' kind of love interest there. And then, of course, he gets frozen in the ice and she has to continue on without him. Makes a quick cameo appearance in The Winter Soldier, by the way. Very nicely done. But anyway. So you'll be able to enjoy Agent Carter, S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter, later this year. Preacher will be on AMC. That's one of those, I believe it's an Image book that I'm not 100% familiar with. I encourage you to do the due diligence, the research that I did not get to. But that, like I said, we've had an action-packed show so far. Maybe not action, information-packed show. iZombie is another one. I did do a little research on this one today. That is going to the CW as well. And that is about a young lady who needs to feed on one brain per month to not be overcome by her zombie undead urges. And it's actually going to star, I can't even remember her name, but I can tell you if you, as far as, you know, recent other roles that she's been in here recently, if you have watched Once Upon a Time on ABC Sunday nights, she played Tinkerbell in the last season, a few episodes there. She plays the lead, I believe the name is Liv, in iZombie. Check that one out as well, coming up in the fall. A couple of books that I've been reading, want to pass along to you. If you have not yet, it took me a long time to get this book, and I'm so glad I got it, and I read it in a short amount of time. Superman Red Sun. It is essentially what would happen if, instead of Smallville, Kansas, if Superman's ship came down in Ukraine, communist Ukraine, under the Soviet, the sickle and hammer. And it's a very interesting take on that, as Superman is initially starts out, and I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's got a really, really tripping ending that caught me by surprise. I didn't see it coming. I do highly recommend this one, but, you know, Superman starts out decent enough. He wants to not just, you know, save the Soviet Union, but he wants to, you know, help people all around the world. And then he kind of gets put into a position of authority and I think lets the power go to his head a little bit. He starts hanging out on a Russian satellite up in space, just kind of watching and listening to the entire world. Very, you talk about, you know, the Boy Scout becoming the big brother. It's kind of what it is for Soviet Superman. But anyway, so Red Sun, I highly recommend you check that one out. I don't think you'll be disappointed. Like I said, the end, that was a curveball I did not see coming. And after seeing it, I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's more possible than one would ever think. So check out Red Sun. Like I said, I don't think you'll be disappointed. You know that if you've been listening to the show, I'm pretty much a DC guy, but I have been trying to change things up a little bit here last couple of months. As I told you earlier, I put Iron Fist on my pull list, Twilight Comics there in Shiloh, Illinois. I put Iron Fist on there. I'm one issue into that, and I've enjoyed it, and I look forward to continuing on with that story. The Living Weapon, Daniel Rand. I think it's going to be a worthwhile read. The art was something I wasn't particularly used to, and I don't know if DC's got, I don't want to say the better artist, but the more, you know, when you think of superheroes and big muscles and you know, things like that, it's kind of where DC's been at. This one was stylized just a little different. It took me a couple pages to get used to, but again, it's the story is carrying it for me. I'm excited to see where this one goes. Iron Fist, it's probably only on issue 2 or 3. Check the walls at your local comic book store. Check the back issue boxes. The other one that I picked up from Marvel, Moon Knight, number 1, and I got 2 and 3 in my next visit, and I've already read them all. Talk about another one that's stylized different. If you don't know anything about Moon Knight, and I don't, I mean, I really don't, even 3 issues in, Moon Knight, from my understanding, it was a mercenary who was killed under the shadow of an ancient Egyptian god's statue. And I'm not even going to pronounce it or attempt to pronounce it because I will offend all of my Egyptian listeners. But anyway, it's the statue is sort of like the... he kind of woke up from this death, essentially, and put this shroud on him, the shroud of the Egyptian god, and kind of became the protector of nighttime travelers is kind of what he is. So it's pretty wild stuff. Like I said, I'm enjoying it. I'm 3 issues in. I've read them all. The thing that I notice is that they're all kind of separate. They don't have any, like, series flow to them. They're 21, 22 pages of contained story. The Moon Knight is always dressed in white, which either has to elate the colorist or completely throw him off, because he's pure white with, of course, the lines of the suit. Goes by a couple different names, Mr. Knight when he's not in his, cape and shroud. And Mr. Knight, sort of just the guy who's helping the police on a lot of these murder investigations and crimes. It's pretty cool. And then, of course, you have the vengeance aspect of it, which is the Moon Knight. And that's when you see the shroud. But even Mr. Knight has got his face covered. It's pretty wild stuff. Definitely not something I'm really used to, but I am enjoying it. The only other thing that I've got new going on right now is I picked up Original Sin Zero. It is Marvel's current event, for lack of a better term. I picked that one up. I read Red Zero. I've got that series in my poll folder, so I'll be getting those and updating you on that story as we go. Future's End, of course, is what DC's doing right now. I just haven't had a chance. I'm so far behind on my DC reading. I haven't read Trinity War, so I haven't read Forever Evil. And like I said, I'm behind. Just a little bit. I'm still missing a couple of issues of Trinity War, and I've been told I can't get the issues, individual issues order, because they're about to release the trade paperback. So do I wait? Do I just read the ones without? I feel like I've waited this long. I might as well just wait another month or so and read it all in one sitting. So, but anyway, that's it. A lot of my thoughts, and a lot of my thoughts. I do want to thank you for tuning in. Heck, if you made it this far, you deserve some kind of medal or something. I don't have a medal. I still have the contest going on. I'm encouraging you to invite your friends, or maybe you listen to the show, but you're not catching the Facebook page. Facebook.com/NerdsUnitedShow. Also, Nerds United Show on Twitter. And nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com if you wanted to send me an email, something like that. Trying to do this show every other week. We've kind of jammed a few things in there because I had a lot of thoughts going on in my mind, and I wanted to do it in a timely manner. So I do appreciate all of the support that you've given the show. Appreciate everybody who's been willing to be a guest on my show. That makes, you know, my throat's starting to hurt. I haven't talked this much in a long time because I've had such awesome guests who do the bulk of the talking for me. So I want to thank them. Hopefully here in a couple weeks we'll get a new guest on the show. And be looking, because I think pretty soon Jittery Monkey is going to start up a Kickstarter fund so we can actually get some proper, some right proper recording equipment. So if we can do it, we can't just throw down a wad of cash because none of us have a wad of cash to throw down. Might be looking for that. If you've got a few shillings you can throw our way, certainly be appreciative. We got to figure out. I know in other Kickstarters, certainly that I've supported, there's various tiers of, like you get $5, you get a sticker. You get $25, you get a t-shirt. Give $100, I guess we'll throw you on a podcast. Donate $500, you can have your own podcast. I don't know. We'd have to figure that one out. That's one for the Jittery Monkey Executive Board, which is myself and Toby. So I want to thank you. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. Thank you so much for the support you've given me, you've given the show. You're why I do this, and I do love not so much hearing the sound of my own voice, but I do enjoy bringing you a product that I hope you enjoy. And if ever it becomes a time where you don't enjoy the product anymore, let me know. I'm kidding. I've got giveaways. Tell your friends. I just gave away a really awesome box of goodies from this golf tournament. As a result of this golf tournament I played in last weekend, gave them away. Fantastic box of stuff, courtesy of Twilight Comics. I signed up for Loot Crate, so we're going to have more goodies, more giveaways in the near future. So listen. We can't subscribe yet because we're not on the iTunes, but listen, tell your friends, share the podcast when you get them out, or when you see them released, and come back. Always come back. Be interactive on Facebook, because Facebook is getting greedy. They don't want to show all the posts and all of your news feeds. So you got to share that stuff. Make sure that your friends are seeing it, and because they say, I've got 60 people maybe who like the page, and if I want all 60 of the people who like the page to see my content, I've got it. They want me to buy advertising. I'm kind of a one-man show with a limited income. I can't buy advertising, Facebook, but all you got to do, click share, comment, like, things like that. Make sure that others can see your interaction with the show. And again, I do this show a little bit for me, but mostly for you. So thank you again for your support. I'm getting out of here. This has been episode number 19 of Nerds United.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.